Thank you for attending session 321, titled Beyond an American Church, Mormon Feminism in Mexico. Before we begin, we ask that cell phones are turned off and that those attending will be respectful and attentive. It is the mission of Sunstone to host thoughtful and respectful dialogue. Please keep that in mind when engaging in the question and answer portion of this session following the remarks of the presenters. Those who cannot abide by the guidelines will be asked to leave. This session is being recorded, and you will not be able to purchase it after the presentations end at the registration desk on the main floor. If you haven't already, please consider subscribing to Sunstone Magazine at the registration desk as well. Your support goes directly to keeping symposiums and 40 years of thoughtful dialogue alive and sustainable. Don't forget to check out the bookstore in the ballroom hosted by Benchmark Books. Consider purchasing a book or two to support Mormon studies and scholars. This session is 60 minutes, but actually it's not. We've lost about 12 minutes, so hopefully we'll be able to finish this in a timely manner. Violence against women in Mexico is an everyday reality. They suffer from it beginning at a very young age. There is great need for a conversation about Mormon feminism in Mexico, how it affects the women there, and how we as saints can broaden the discussion to include our brothers and sisters around the world. This presentation takes a closer look at intersectional feminism and the Mormon Church in Mexico. Anya Tinajero lives in Mexico and is a feminist in eternal construction. She is a co-founder of Mormonas Feministas, has an MD in population development and a BA in international relations. Welcome. Thank you.
I was really scared like 10 minutes ago. And thank you for being here. Gracias. Because I was shocked. And maybe it's the crying Mexican in me, but I was shocked that this room was full, the last session. And if you see this room, it's like not even at the half. So I'm sorry to say that, also to say this, but as an American, you are not willing to hear our voices. Sorry. So I'm going to say some words in Spanish because I need to. You need to listen to other languages in here, because if we are talking about a global church, we need to have in Sunstone another language. So I'm asking April to translate my first words. Okay? I think she will help me if I get like stuck in my English. Muchas gracias.
Thank you very much.
Estoy agradecida con mi padre y con mi madre celestial.
I'm thankful to my heavenly mother and heavenly father.
Y estoy agradecida con mis ancestros.
And I'm grateful to my ancestors.
Espero que esta reunión.
Espero. I hope. I hope that this meeting
esté llena de luz y verdad, como decía mi abuela.
Be filled with light and truth, as my grandmother would say.
Yo vengo de un matriarcado.
I come from a matriarchy.
Uno mexicano.
A Mexican matriarchy.
No mormón.
Not a Mormon matriarchy.
Y todos los días.
And every day.
Yo trato de ser la mitad de buenas que eran mis mujeres en la familia.
And every day I try to be half as good as the women in my family.
Gracias.
Thank you.
I work as a college teacher, and I used to give these lectures in Mexican Congress. But I think this one is the hardest for me to write and arrange. Because every single day in here, I was like, they need to hear this. And they need to hear that too. But I'm going to start with a little bit of Mexican Mormon history. I'm not a good one or an expert, but I was reading in my way in here that in Mexico there was 10 years of a Mormon Mexican church, and it's called the Third Convention. It was from 1937 and 1947, because our Mexican leaders just realized that they have to separate from the Salt Lake leaders. So for 10 years, we had a Mexican Mormon church. As Sarah told you, I'm a demographer, so I like numbers. So I once Gina posed something about how many Mormons are in your country. So I went to the church statistics, and I found we were like more than a million. And I was, that's why we have 12 temples and we have so many American missionaries in here. But as a good demographer, I went to the main source. So I looked at the Mexican census of 2010, and I read that we declare as Mormons only like 300,000. So we're missing like 1 million. And I know as a demographer that's not good. Because, yeah, 1 million just died or just were born for in about 4 years, or we convert that much? No. Well, that's one of my friends keep on saying, you need to write about that, and I will. But I'm worried as a woman, as a Mexican woman, about the violence in my country. I work right now in NPO to fight crime or to work in crime prevention. And I face violence every day. And I face gender violence even in my work. And I was doing this research because we're going to work in Puebla. It's another town. And I found this work from the Mexican census, and it says that almost 45% of married or united women had suffered violence by their parents once in her life. You know, it's like the half. And when I was in my work, I give this prevention gender violence. I don't know if it's in English like that, but I had a crowd like this, and I had little young women, and I asked, do you ever suffer for gender violence? And they said, no, we never. And I was, oh, really? So how many does your brother or your boyfriend tells you you're fat? Or you feel ashamed to use a pair of leggings, like I was? And they were like, oh yeah. And how many do they hit you only playing? Because we are playing, we are friends, and that's okay. They were thinking, and when I finished, I asked, do you ever suffer from violence, gender violence? And all the group said, yes. So yes, a soul is back there in a mobile phone. So he knows that I'm saying the truth. We suffer violence every day, every moment. And you imagine how that violence is magnified when we enter to the Mormon church with our machos leaders. So I brought a picture because everyone keeps on asking me, how do you organize as Mormonas feministas? So I have to point to a guilty girl named Joanna Brooks. Because, and I was really trying to separate our experience or our history group from my personal experience, but I just can't. Because I was really this faithful Mormon. I was baptized when I was 19, and I was the first one in my home because I had a Mormon family. So I was really faithful for about 10 years. But maybe you had read my part or my entry in Joanna's blog. It's called I'm 31, I'm Mexican, and I'm a feminist, I think. So when I was a young woman's ward leader, we went to the camp, and A girl just injured her leg. So I was like, oh, we need to take you to the hospital. And the brother that was in charge, I told him, you know, we need to take this girl to the hospital. And he said, oh, yeah, but, you know, I need to get that ride to get back to my home because I need to get back with my family. And I was, yes, but this girl is suffering, so we need to take her to our city. And he said, no, but I need to come back. So I need to be true. I yelled at him. So like a week next, my bishop saw me and said, Anya, you need to come back here and talk with me. And he says, you know, You need to learn patience. I was, yes, you're right. But you know, a girl was suffering. He broke her ankle. So that's painful. And the brother was really into going back to the city because he was tired and he wanted to see his family. And he says, yeah, but you need to understand that the brother was really tired and he has issues with his wife, so he had to come back. And I said, yeah, I understand, I'm human too. But you never asked me if I'm tired, if I work those days, if I have money. So you're comparing, you're saying that my work isn't enough as his. So we had this big conversation. But then time passed and I was like, this is not okay. This is something missing in here. So Mormons taught me that I need to seek for questions. And I have to read. So I read. And I found Joanna's book. And I read it like in one night. And I was crying and crying and crying. Because I realized that my church was sexist. And in 10 years, I was privileged. Because I never suffered for that violence. But I was until they touched me. I realized that it was sexist. And that's sad. Because I never acknowledged my other sisters. So when I went back to Mexico City to my master's, so I was really tired to go to church on Sundays. So I stopped attending because, you know, you have to sleep sometime. But I was really trying to get back into church. So one day I went to my bishops and I sit down and I said, I need to talk with you. It's not a worthy thing. Just I'm sad. And I started to cry. I cried like an hour. And I said, you know, I do have a temple recommendation, but I don't feel like going or to renew it. Because, come on, I'm single. I'm 32. I have no odds to get married in there. So I just cry every time I go to the celestial room. So I really don't want to cry again. So I was crying. And I told him, I really don't want to attend church. And his answer was, well, if you're not feeling it, just don't show up. And I was heartbroken. So I found that my bishop also hurt my mom and another sisters. So I was really angry. And yesterday I was telling Marina that I think he was angry at me too. Because I said, I know what you did to my mom. And I was asking you to stop doing that. But I'm not asking. I'm just demanding you to stop being cruel with our sisters. And yes, he was mad at me. So I think he said, yep, just stop attending church. So I found this Johannesburg. I wrote her, and she said, you know, you need to know these two crazy ladies, Azul and Jill. So we chat by email, and we arrange a date in Mexico City. So we went to a fancy restaurant because it bought it. And this is the picture of that date. Just let my thing work. So we spent like 3 hours talking and crying, of course, about our experience in Mormon church. And we realized we had to do something, and that something was speaking about feminism, Mormon feminism, in Spanish. So we made this Facebook group with like 100 people now, and I need to call these names because we recognize different stages in feminism and in Mormonism within our group. But we have like 10 really, not that active, but Mormon feminists in Mexico. We have Jill. She's an American, but she's more Mexican than a tortilla, so it doesn't count. Azul. We have a friend. I have a male friend. He's working on Mormon new masculinities. And his name is Ali. We have Marta, we have Dalia, we have Israel, he's from Affirmation. We have Jessica, Maricruz, Ornella, Ruth, and Nefi, and other more. And when we were in this Mexican restaurant, it just hit me. I was looking for Mormon Mexican feminist history, and there's none. So yes, Azul, we are making history. And that's a tough thing. I'm not that happy with that, because, you know, it's a big group's responsibility in our shoulders. And what do we believe in? We believe in Heavenly Mother. And it was luck for us for many times. And then realized that maybe she wasn't that luck. Because almost every Mormon has been a Catholic. So we have Virgin Mary. And we have Virgin Mary, a brown virgin. And the tradition says she spoke to an indigenous Mexican. So when I converted, I just tried to wipe up, like, clear my mind from Virgin Mary so hard. You know, I said this before, I tried to whitewash my faith. And then I realized that Heavenly Mother was there always, in Virgin Mary or in my family. My family is comes from a crazy religious group named, it's not even in here. Well, yes, it's in here, but it's a Mexican thing. It's called Trinitarios Marianos. They believe, like, in everything and reincarnation. And my grandma and my great-grandma used to heal with her hands. So I'm used to it. So we believe in Heavenly Mother. And we started to pray to her also. So I went to the market one day, and I found this old friend from my state, and she said, I've seen your Facebook post. You're angry with the Mormon Church. And I was like, maybe. But you weren't angry if you knew about all these rapes in Mexico? Or you won't be angry if you know that when they interview a young woman, they ask you, how many times did you have the sex? Did you enjoy it? In which positions? And how many times? And what else? Did you enjoy which position the most? You weren't angry? And she was like, oh, maybe. So I'm not asking for your permission to be angry. I'm just taking it. In the 90s, 94, there was a Mexican struggle in Chiapas, maybe you know. It's an indigenous struggle named Los Zapatistas. It was made by indigenous people. They didn't even talk Spanish. And they said these powerful words. They say they were La Dignidad Rebelde. And I was trying to translate it. Can you help me? Rebel dignity. So I take that as mine. So we are angry because of immigration. We recognize two Mexicos. The Mexico that we live in Mexico, and the Mexico that we live in here. We're not fine on what's going on in here with our brothers and sisters. Not only the Mexican ones, but the Latin American ones. You keep on treating us like trash. And when you realize that you need us, you will change your mind. Also, the church is keeping on telling us that Zion is in here in Utah. But they also keep on not saying that maybe it's not that good idea that you go and travel all the way to science just to stay in your home, because if you know, it will be better. You can build a Mexican Zion like in there. So yes, we are angry. Yeah. I have family in here. They came in the 80s without papers. And I'm proud of them. And every thesis that I write, I said, this is to my family, my immigrant family. And yes, my two theses are about immigration. So yes, we're mad and sad. The other thing that we reclaim is ordination for women. Then that's a tough one. We have two Mexican profiles in the OW, mine and a girl named Denise. And I want to tell you some stories, Mexican folk stories about priesthood. I have this friend, and she gave me permission to give her name. She's Dalia. She's from my work. She's one of my really best friends at church. And she's like a feminist in under construction. So one day, she knew that I was coming in here. So she said, please, please tell my story. She's a Mormon with a dad and a mom, and they used to live in Acapulco. So her father was away, and she was really sick, and her mother was alone. So this story is really a cute one, because her mother was so, so worried about Dalia that she took her garments, placed it in the head of Dalia and said a prayer. I was like, that was weird. Why? And she said, because my mom told me that since she believes in the temple and the ordinances in there, if she puts her garments into my head, her blessings will be my blessings. So, you know, we are used to make weird things like blessing without having the priesthood. Also, as my prophet says, we have a lot of single women. That's my case. That's my mom and me. And I saw my mom, and she's so faithful. And I'm really angry that she couldn't have the priesthood to bless me whenever I need, because my dad leave us like when I was ever since. So I will be nice. But it's not only about the priesthood. It's also about power. So if we gain the woman ordination, that will be good. What worries us that it will be the same American white people. Yeah, we will have Mexican girls, maybe, I hope not me, but you know, it will be the same group of people in here. So another thing that makes us really, really angry is racism. So we keep on asking ourselves if feminism is compatible with racism or classism, and we keep on answering no. Because when I read about feminism, it's not about only the gender equality, it's also about social justice, also obviously anti-patriarchal, but also it's anti-capitalistic, capitalism. So what feminists are we talking about? So, yeah. Because we learned that being Lamanite isn't a sin. It's a privilege. Because the Book of Mormon preaches about Jesus visiting America, Central America, visiting my people, visiting my indigenous people, visiting my brown people, and visiting my brown ancient family. So when I knew that in the mainstream of the U.S. Mormon thing, being Lamanite was bad, I was shocked. Because, you know, Christ was in our home. He blessed our children. So when I converted into Mormonism, I was like, whoa, they are talking to me. And then I came into the U.S. and no, they are not. Another thing we are angry about and we advocate for that is social justice. And if you're curious, just grab a Mexican history book and you will feel that angry as we do. And I'm going to ask, do you know about the 43 missing students in Mexico? Yeah. Thank you, Azul. And I was thinking about asking a minute of silence in their memorial. But then I remember all the deaths caused by the drug war in Mexico, and I need to say this. We are living a drug war. Like 10 minutes far from my home, they killed this big drug cartel leader, and it was like hell, my city, for 1 year. And we are living this war. You know why? Just say it. Money. Yeah, I know money. But you know who? Which country consumes the more drugs in the world?
White Americans, people.
Yeah. So we're handling the drug, yes, but we also pay it with blood. And then I also remember all the rape women in my country, all the dead ones, all the people that starve and ask for money or for a taco in my streets. And also I think about that this kid killed by the militaries in Guerrero like 2 weeks ago. And all the missing ones. And I get when you our sisters of color just being that angry because their sisters being murdered. But you know, we live this every day. So yes, I was asking for 1 minute of silence. But if I ask for the 43, I will need to ask for our women, our kids. So I will be not able to talk for about like 1 day. We also acknowledge our privilege. We are not the same as the Mexican feminist, Mormon feminist. We are a diverse group facing different stages of feminist inequality. From our privilege, we recognize us as a blessed group. First, we can recognize violence. Because, you know, Mexican women doesn't recognize symbolic violence. That's the Come on, you're overreacting. That's why you're single. We also understand, and I really try to speak English. Asultus does that just excellent. And third, we have internet access. So we acknowledge our privilege. And I won't be able to talk for the indigenous Mexican woman. I can't. I just can't. We also are, as I just said, we are really angry about violence within the church against women. I was a young woman leader for 4 years. So when I acknowledged myself as a feminist, I was really sad. And I feel really bad about what I've been teaching for those 5 years. And I'm really sorry. The worst thing is I can do anything now for that kids, but just being a feminist, crazy feminist now. So I'm sorry. We also are angry because you make a white American Jesus. And I need to read this. This is a piece. It was sent by Mary Cruz. She's from Acapulco. She's studying college right now, but I think her economic opportunities are not as Azul's or mine. And I just need to read this. It's in Spanish, but I'll try to translate. Mexico and United States are really different. Specifically, Guerrero and Utah. When in Guerrero, we as women grow with Catholic costumbres, customs, I think, with Catholic customs and by novelas from Televisa. Just to forget unemployment, poverty, hunger, insecurity, violence, the missing one, the kidnapping one, the murder one, and all what we live. Where we point what is different to you, where women are violated, assassinated, or beaten every day, where if you don't have a boyfriend in your life, you're not a woman. So it's a no-brainer to recognize that Mormon population is changing and growing, especially in Latin America. So this is Azul's words. Let's face it, the future of Mormonism is outside the U.S. Stop playing the fool and put attention to us. Break your American English and speaking bubble and dare to find the truth. I don't know what's going on or the future with Mormonas Feministas is. I really don't know. But we are trying to honor our Heavenly Fathers, our culture, our history, our people, our family, and we are trying to honor ourselves. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Today I'm changed for that presentation, and I'm so grateful because I had to drive up from Mapleton this morning to get babysitters for my kids to moderate the session, and I wouldn't have been here had I not been the moderator. So I'm so grateful. We are unfortunately out of time. I'm sure there's so many questions for you. We've gone 5 minutes over.
No, we have 5 minutes.
We do?
Yeah, it's 11:15.
Oh, good. Okay, good. Oh, good. I was so stressed about it. I was like, ah. I'm so glad. So I think the microphone is on. Jana, will you just kind of tap it, make sure?
I think it is.
And you guys can just come up to the microphone and ask any questions. Great. I'm so thankful for 10 more minutes. Okay.
Me interesó mucho lo que dijo usted acerca de las de cómo la iglesia llena sus mensajes de que Utah es como un Sion, pero a la vez recomiendan que se queden en sus propios países. Y como un antropólogo que recién está comenzando a usar métodos feministas para hacer la ciencia, quisiera saber si tiene alguna como consejos para mí de cómo podría llegar al fondo de esa cuestión, de que Utah es Sion, pero a la vez quédense en sus países.
I'm sorry, it was in Spanish, so I get it all. You know, I've been reading because I'm thinking about my PhD, Crossing Life Feminism with Mormonism and Immigration.
Do it.
Yeah, it's a crazy stuff. So I was thinking about sources. And I'm not a Mormon scholar. I'm not. But I think that there was a time in Mexico where they were like, oh, Zion is in Utah, you must go there. But then they realized that it was a lot of Latinos in here, and that's not good because, you know, brown people. I heard that because when I was baptized, I was like, you speak English, you must go to BYU. And I was, maybe not too many Mormons together. So, but then they just stopped. And they gave us scholarships to study in Mexico and in our countries. So I think that's a message. So you can stay over there. You can start over there. Don't come in here and show us your poverty and your different cultures. I will find some more, for sure.
Can you say anything about the closing of the LDS boarding school, the college preparatory school Benemérito, yeah, in Mexico City? What I heard from my relatives is that people in Provo complained about the MTC expanding in Provo, and so they shut Benemérito to make an MTC in Mexico because white people in Provo were angry, and Mexican saints don't need a school as much as people in Provo need a view.
Yeah, there was like this school in Mexico City, high school, Mormon high school. I didn't attend there, thank God. But yeah, it was an old one, so they shut it. And the thing is, we need more space for missionaries to learn Spanish, so we're changing this school into the missionary center, training center. And that was all. Nothing else was said. It was a pleasure to educate like six or seven generations or even more, but that's all. And we need the education because in Mexico, education is really
expensive.
It's really expensive. I've been, you know, I'm saying to me, I'm privileged. I am. But when I see my world, I'm the privileged one. So we need education. And yeah, I don't know the answer. They just said, yeah, it's going to be the NMTC and have fun and be lucky and stuff.
Thank you, Anya. My question for you is about the Mormon feminist in Mexico. Do you have an idea of like the approach that you want to be more grassroots? Do you want to organize among the people more? Or is there a role that you see for the church? Is there something that the church officially needs to do? And if there is, like how do we support you either way?
I think that church needs to change a lot. For example, we need a Latin face in the 12th. And the first person. Come on, Mexico is the second country with more Mormons in the world. And I can't speak in Spanish in here. Well, yeah, I am agree. Sorry. I was sad yesterday, Sara, because I was really happy hearing Fatima and Kalani and my sisters. And yesterday we had dinner together. But as soon as I get in Mexico, I will be alone again. Because we're 10 in all over Mexico. So how can you help? Just listening and being there for us.
So, Anya, hi, my name is Anna. I lived for 6 years in Merced, California, where we had about half of our town was immigrants, mostly from Mexico. Mm-hmm. Our ward there was very closely associated with the Spanish branch, and we had joint auxiliaries. Mm-hmm. So my callings in young women and primary were working with, you know, the kids from my ward, which was English speaking, and the kids and the young women from the Spanish branch. Sorry. And I love those kids. And I mainly want to say thank you because they need you. They are so smart. And so good, and they face so much hardship as immigrant families in the U.S. And I was lucky to be there, but I wish they had you, because you're such a great leader and example. And my question, I'm taking a long time getting to it, was, have you thought about expanding your reach of more? Is it Mormonas Feministas? I'm sorry, I'm not a Spanish speaker. To the Spanish-speaking Mormons in the U.S., and how is that going?
It's not going.
Yeah.
We have fear.
Fear?
Yeah, we have fear. Yeah. When I post my OW profile, I was like feeling fear for about a half a year. Because I'm the visible face of Mexican feminism in Mexico. So when Kate was excommunicated, I was like, I'm the next one.
Yeah.
And that's okay. We're trying to first conquer our fears so we can help another. Because You know, living in Mexico, every time they yell at you, hey, you mamacita and stuff. And every day you struggle for something. So, yeah, we need, I keep on saying this, like every day, we need all the feminist Mormon material in Spanish. And I found Joanna's book. It was my safety line. We need to have that online in Spanish. And we wish we could help. But you know, Azul is working, Yield is working, Dad is working. I have 2 jobs.
Yeah.
So we need that help, maybe.
Translation is something
you
need help with.
It's one thing.
Thank you.
My name is Shawnee. I was sitting in here at the tail end of the last session and was also sad to see so many people file out of the room. And as I heard several people, as they filed out, say things like, oh, Mormon feminism in Mexico, that doesn't apply to me, and just leave. And I just thought that was so tragic that so many people aren't hearing your story. And I think that maybe if they had stuck around, they would have listened and appreciated what you had to say. And I was wondering if there's a blog or a website where people can go to read your stories and
we have hear your voices. A closed group because it was crazy in there. Because we have fear. I'm not longer active, but Azul is. And other sisters had husband and kids, and they have fear. So we have this closed group. It's called Mormonas Feministas. If you ask for in your entrance, I will give it to you. Azul, estás loca. And we also have a Twitter account. Mm-hmm. It's at Mormon Fem. I don't know. Let me see. I have it in here. It's at, and we tweet in Spanish and English when we it's at Mormon Mex Fem. Yeah, and we will work in a blog. We will now work with FemWork, and then we will try to figure it out.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah.
Hi. I'm sorry, I came in late for circumstances, and I apologize. Where did you say you were from?
Mexico, Cuernavaca.
Cuernavaca, okay. So I just got back from my mission in Mexico. I was in Saltillo. Mm. Obviously, each part of Mexico is very different, especially the northern parts are very different from even just Mexico City. But I just wanted to kind of make a comment on the Benemerito thing.
Oh, thanks.
Because I feel like the church kind of is looking a lot at the education thing, just from my experience, because as a missionary during that huge boom of missionaries and everybody needing to learn Spanish all of a sudden, I was placed in the Mexico, or in the Provo MTC on the West campus because there was no room. And I can kind of tell you right now, because the majority of my companions went to Benemerito and all of their families, and like these missionaries that went into my mission just before I left, they are from the Mexico MTC. And the impression that I got from it was that the Mexico MTC is for the Latins. I didn't have hardly any American companions at all. A girl and I, we were the first American sisters in that part of Mexico in over 30 years. And I felt like the majority of the mission were Latin, and they all went to the Mexico MTC, and I felt like they were so grateful for it. because as far as visas go and everything, it was so complicated. They could go on their missions faster. They could just be there. And there's a huge number of missionaries that are from Latin America. And I mean, all they have is the Guatemala. So as far as it went, I felt like the people, especially the ones that went to Benemérito, they were grateful that it was changed. And I do see that they are kind of looking for education in that way. I loved your comment on them saying, like, oh, you can have education here in Mexico, but don't come over here. I can understand that.
But they just keep on separating us from here. Yeah, that's segregation. And also, you can study in Mexico. And I'm, again, a privileged one. Because I don't want to brag, but I'm a smart one. I just entered to the Mexican university, and it's free, because, but you need to make an exam. And I entered to the master's by applying an exam. But you know how much is to be in a private elementary school in Mexico? It's like 300, or maybe 200-300. You know how a family earns in Mexico? That's another thing that makes us angry. Like $300 per month. So yeah, we need to push education from church. And closing Benemérito, I don't think it was the smart idea, but yeah, whatever.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I wish I could give you lots more time. Thank you so much, and thank you everyone for attending. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.